Hey, it's Biggs. I just wanted to let you guys know that Box Office Battle is going to be coming to you every other week from now on, starting next week. So, in other words, next week there won't be an episode. We just got a really full schedule, and so we've had to take a little bit off of our plate. Perhaps eventually we'll go back to weekly, but for now it's just every other week. So, it'll still be on Wednesdays, but you won't find one next week and every other week from now on. Thanks. Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take forgotten hits, underappreciated classics, and box office bombs and pit them against each other for the right to be on Mount Valhalla. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard.
I'm Zach.
So today we're doing sports movies?
Yes, yeah, sports movies.
Okay.
Irreverent sports movies, even.
What are you doing, Zach?
I've got a little film called Celtic Pride.
And I'm going New York with the Little Giants.
Yeah, fuck New York. Fuck the Giants. Celtics forever.
I didn't
forever.
Even think about that.
Celtics forever.
So who's going first here?
I think Brandon should go first because he's upset me.
All right. So Little Giants, little pick from 1994, starring the great Ed O'Neill. And, yeah.
Was that my dog?
I'm sure what dog is
that picked up on a mic?
Mira is in on Ed O'Neill.
Mira likes Al Bundy. Who'd have saw that one coming?
This is the positive reinforcement she wants instead of the negative reinforcement from chewing cables. See, I taught her a lesson. She got zapped the last episode, I think.
So starring opposite of the great Ed O'Neill is Rick Moranis. Now this takes place in a small little town in Indiana where the O'Shea brothers, Rick Moranis and Ed O'Neill, grow up. And Ed O'Neill goes on to have a great football career. He wins a Heisman Trophy, a national championship.
Does he score four touchdowns in one game?
I think he did in his high school days.
Sorry, a little Married with Children reference there.
Hey, we can't have old Ed O'Neill drop a few bombs here.
It's like the second Ed O'Neill movie, isn't it?
It is a second Ed O'Neill movie. The O'Shea brothers grow up in little Indiana. He wins a national championship. He wins a Heisman Trophy. And I believe he also won a Super Bowl with the New York Jets out of all teams. So you know this is a little farcical here. But they show him like
or
on this.
Ed O'Neill's way older than we thought.
Because I'm pretty sure that was Joe Namath, but...
Yeah, Super Bowl III.
The only Jet to win a Super Bowl. Anyway...
Well, I think there was like 52 others, right?
No, they played 8-man back then, didn't they?
They might have.
They played
leather helmets. Yeah, they had this billboard out on, like, coming into town where it's got Ed O'Neill doing the, like, lean back
Heisman
with
pose.
The football. No, not the Heisman pose. The, like, leaning back.
The Johnny Unitas pose.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's got, and it doesn't say Jets, but it's green with white stripes. So you know it's New York Jets. The movie starts off, they're having a practice to find out who's making the team. There's about four or five kids that are just terrible, terrible at football. One little kid, he couldn't catch football, with the name Hot Hands. One who just eats everything in sight. You see him getting crushed off the line. You see he's got a little like red stuff on his head. You're like, oh my god, they're gonna have a kid have a concussion in this movie? No, he's got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich stashed in his helmet.
One who has a real bad attitude named Rick Sanchez.
And Icebox.
Icebox.
Who is actually, like, showing up everybody on the team. Like, obviously the best player, but she's a girl.
Girls can't play football.
They can tackle, but they can't pee standing up.
If you've watched Necessary Roughness, you know that girls can play football. They just have to kick.
No, she plays middle linebacker.
Oh, okay.
Icebox will fuck you up.
Oh, you could tell what era of movies Zach watched. Like, as a kid.
You really can't see where my childhood love shines.
It's like Mighty Ducks, Little Giants.
You know, as I was preparing for this talk today, I went through Netflix to try and find it. Not on there, which I was kind of surprised because they have a lot of Rick Moranis' catalog on Netflix. Not
Honey,
one of
I
them.
Shrunk everything.
Celtic Pride wasn't on there either.
No, it was not.
So, and then I'm like, well, I'll go down to Hastings and rent it. Not to be found in Hastings. So, this is definitely an underappreciated movie.
Is this movie as hard to find as that Patrick Swayze movie we kicked off the show, Skate Town USA?
Can't be. Cannot be.
Yeah, that one was
people still
tough.
Remember this movie.
That's tough when you have to watch a VHS copy on streaming on the internet because it's literally the only place it's available.
That's the only film I've ever watched in zero resolution.
So these poor kids, they don't make the cut to make the team, and they're feeling really dejected, and they decide to make their own team. But there can only be one
with
town,
blackjack
one
and hookers.
Team.
What's that?
Oh, I just said their own team with blackjack and hookers. Go on.
I actually felt that when I was watching it today. I was like, I'm going to start my own team with blackjack and hookers. So they start their own team, and Rick Moranis, the father of Icebox, he reluctantly takes the coaching job, but there can only be one team. So they decide in 2 weeks to have a playoff game to whichever team will actually make the league. So they start practicing. They get this couple of boxes, it looks like, from they've scrounged from every thrift store in the county, like just the worst equipment ever. Like I think one's wearing like a catcher's...
Yep.
One, instead of wearing a helmet, is actually wearing like a plastic cowboy hat. The fat kid's wearing a Darth Vader helmet.
Fuck yeah.
And Icebox is wearing a motorcycle helmet.
Because Icebox does not fuck around.
That she painted a little skull and crossbones on.
Because Icebox is hardcore.
They continue practicing, and they're just terrible. But they get an ominous phone call. There's a new ringer in town, Spike. Rick Moranis is driving a little go-kart across town. Ed O'Neill's, his character has a sports dealer or a sports car dealership or a Chevy dealership in town. And you see him like racing across town to like sign the new kid because every day his father massages buttermilk into his quads. And just trains him to be the ultimate tailback.
That sounds not okay.
It sounds super molesting.
It's almost a little creepy.
That sounds more homoerotic than the Give It Away
All
video.
I'm saying is I've known that happened in that movie my entire life, and I didn't realize it was creepy until I heard a grown man describe it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is super fucked up.
Now realize that a grown man had to have written that screenplay, mm-hmm. and then a grown man had to like direct that movie, and then a couple of grown men greenlit that movie, and then some grown people like played out that scene with the child.
And then I watched that movie.
And then the game day comes, and they're just getting their stuff handed to them. They're down 21-0 at the half. They haven't gained a yard up to halftime. But Rick Moranis comes with a speech. You know, you win 99. They can win 99 times out of 100, but that leaves one time. And that one time is today. And they battle back throughout the game and end up winning it with a touchdown with the annexation of Puerto Rico.
The greatest play in football history.
Wait, that's the name of the play?
Yes, yep. the play.
It was even fixed by the great John Madden.
Yep. It's basically a fumble rooski.
It is a fumble rooski. Even Ed O'Neill like screams fumble rooski as the play is happening.
Yeah, it's a fumble rooski. But the annexation of Puerto Rico is the greatest name for any place, so.
Which is a 99.5-yard play with 2 seconds left to win the game.
This is the greatest sports movie of all time. All right, so you got anything else to add, Brandon?
I think I'll defer to you for the second half.
So Celtic Pride is a crime comedy caper. following Dan Aykroyd as Jimmy Flaherty and Daniel Stern as Mike O'Hara, two lifelong Bostonians, Boston sports fans to the bone. And we meet them. It's the last season in the Boston Garden. The Boston Celtics are playing the Utah Jazz in the NBA Finals. Yeah, I know. I'm with you, homie. It's the best joke.
Let's just put this on Front Street. What year did this movie come out?
96. That's so the best joke in the movie.
This would have been the era where, like, the Celtics were, like...
No,
like, like, garbage that gets ground up on the ground? The Celtics were lower than that.
If I can just say, this would have been right in Len Bias's prime. That's all I'm saying.
Now, unfortunately, the Jazz, I think they might have made the finals that year. I think they might have... 94, yeah, I think it would, or no, you know what, they would make the finals next year. They were good, though. That's realistic. That part's realistic.
So, Jimmy and Mike, they're in the building for Game 6 of the NBA Finals as the Celtics drop the game and lose, setting up a deciding Game 7. And Jimmy and Mike leave depressed, so naturally, like any good blue-collar Bostonian after a crushing loss, they went to go drink for a little while. And they happen across Lewis Scott, played by Damon Wayans. Now, Lewis Scott...
is the widest name for a basketball player ever.
It's a pretty good one. It's really strong, actually. I still don't know if it's whiter than Christian Laettner, but it's pretty white.
Pretty white, too.
Yeah.
But I think Dan if Smith, you take BYU. His face out of the equation, Lewis Scott sounds whiter.
Does it help to know it's L-E-W-I-S and not L-O-U-I-S?
Yeah, that does help.
That makes actually. It a little better, yeah. Doesn't it?
But then I think of Louis, and I'm right back to where
right
I was.
Right back in it. And Lewis Scott is the all-star, shoot-first, ball-handling, does-it-all scoring shooting guard for the Utah Jazz. And Jimmy and Mike decide, we're going to get him really fucking drunk, so he has to play Game 7 hungover. And they set out to do so. The next morning, they are unfortunate to find that they have accidentally kidnapped Lewis Scott as they wake up in their apartment and he is still there. So they do what any rational person would do and decide to say, well, we'll just keep him tied up till after the game. If we're going to be in jail, we may as well help the Celtics win while they're doing it, which is an attitude I 100% respect.
As long as it's the Celtics.
As long as it's the Celtics. There some shenanigans ensue. Larry Bird calls them Fairweather fans because part of their ruse to capture Lewis Scott is to pretend to be Jazz fans. So that's a highlight. Having Larry Bird give Dan Aykroyd shit is always entertaining to watch. And, finally, through a series of shenanigans, Lewis Scott is able to get away to the game, and he tells them, I will send you to prison unless you spend the entire game pretending to be Utah Jazz fans and genuinely rooting for me. Now the game goes on, and the Celtics are getting it done, and Lewis Scott has not passed to anybody the entire game. And so Mike, played by Daniel Stern, goes down to give Lewis Scott a pep talk, and the Jazz race back to within 1 point. They have 7 seconds on the clock, Lewis Scott has the ball, and Jimmy and Mike decide that they were going to choose life over the Celtics, and they root full-heartedly for the Utah Jazz as Lewis Scott is able to put it away and win the NBA title.
Ew, that's bitter for your movie, dude. I can't believe you picked this. When I look at it, that's...
You're going to hear some things from me.
Okay.
It almost has a Karate Kid moment in this movie. There is a point where Spike's father, the one that massages buttermilk into his kid's quads, tells his son...
Already lost respect for him. Spike's father is a pedophile, I'm pretty sure.
He is pretty creepy in this movie.
Super creepy.
Like, he's got the buzzed haircut, flat top, like, super just intense... meathead.
Very big van with no working doors.
And lots of candy.
Tells his son that to go in and take out the quarterback. He's the only guy they got on the team. Because at this point, Icebox has a crush on the quarterback and decides to become a cheerleader for the first half to actually, you know, show her feminine side and get a date with the quarterback that she has a pretty good crush going on. Back to the father telling his son, you need to take out the quarterback. So he goes in, they tackle the quarterback, he's getting up, the kid Spike runs in, just blindsides the poor kid, sidelines him, and there was a great moment where Ed O'Neill is like, your kid pulls that shit one more time. I don't think he actually swore because it was a kid's movie, but...
But we've got the explicit label, so we'll just add it in.
You pull that one more time, you're out. He's like, I thought you wanted to win. Not like that. Not like that. And you actually, like, have a little bit of respect for Ed O'Neill's character at that point. I'm saying it was a great touching moment there.
In my time on Box Office Battle, I've been something of an innovator. I have had many... Hang with me. Hang with me.
There was the Industrial Revolution, these parts.
No, see, I have been an active push forward in many unprecedented moments on this show's history, and you can add one more to the list. I'm joining Team Brandon. I cannot support a movie about the Celtics that encourages Celtics fans to turn on their team at the last second in Game 7 of an NBA Finals. This is horse shit.
Did you know horse what you were watching?
Shit. And also, this movie is wildly unfunny. I'm on Team Brandon.
Wow, that was a really early conceit on.
Told you, unprecedented.
Wow.
So now you and me, let's have a dialogue about Little Giants.
There's so many great, like, I was watching this movie and there was so much, like, great, like, kids comedy moments in this movie where the center, the fat kid, he's just like the gassiest kid. His parents actually sell bratwurst in town. They have a van with like a big sausage painted on the side. It says, our worst is your best or something along those lines.
The sight gags in this movie are unbelievable. Now, I didn't rewatch it for the show. I haven't watched it since I was a kid. But there's one shot that sticks out in my mind where you can see them playing on the football field. And like just a few yards down from the sideline, you can see soccer goals in the background. There's a lot of great sight gags in this movie. You can tell it's just a grassy field that they're dragging different sports implements onto.
What I really thought was funny was like how this whole town is going like apeshit over a peewee football
game
playing.
Everybody's like Texas. It's not even the big game. It's just a game.
It's not even like part Texas. Of the season. It's like to make the team to play the
for
season.
The season. It's amazing. The stakes couldn't be lower, but they feel so high.
And then they had the two old guys that, like, one was on Ed O'Neill's side, the other, and they're like, they both get the tip for their spike. And they both, like, on payphones in the restaurant, like, side by side, like, one's calling Ed O'Neill, one's calling
Rick Moran. It's
and
great.
They're just like, we gotta egg this on. And they're like, after they both hang up at the same time, and they're like, high five each other, and you're like, that was fun.
Yeah, it's just. Fun is the perfect word to describe this movie. The annexation of Puerto Rico. Again, I just want to ride hard on this. First of all, you haven't lived until you've seen a bunch of uncoordinated children run a fumble rooski. Like, just the visual of that is amazing. And you can tell they rehearsed it and it's still wonky and fucked up when they try to pull it off. It's amazing. And then to call it the annexation of Puerto Rico is a stroke of genius, the likes of which we have not seen in the film industry since this.
Yeah. The one kid is like this really nerdy, nerdy child in this movie. And his only like purpose in the movie was to come up with this one play that they use it to score. Like, that's the only purpose that kid has in the entire movie. And I like how he like has this old like Apple II computer on a cart with like, he's got a Super Nintendo like wired into it. Like, just like, he's like, okay, I need everything from the thrift store that's like electronics related. We're just going to duct tape it all, have some wires coming out of it. And this is like this super computer this kid has.
And the whole thing they have around for is to draw up a play that has existed in football for decades before this. It's amazing. This movie and Icebox, listen, if you see this movie about age 11 and a half, prepare to have one of your first crushes. Because Icebox, there's nothing about this kid that is not just exceptional. It is an exceptional child, and it makes me feel great about the future of America, despite the fact that this movie came out sometime around 20 years ago.
Okay, so I listened to your compelling judgments. So here's the deal. I saw Celtic Pride when I was in high school, and I remember watching it and being like, I could write a better script than this.
You would not believe that the people who wrote this movie were one of the most celebrated underground comedians of his era and the current, like, most financially valuable comedic screenwriter in Hollywood. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, it was truly terrible. Brandon, you know me for a long time. You think there's any way I'm sitting down and watching this movie?
I don't really.
I truly doubt you watch this movie.
You two try to push me to the limits on this one. Now, here's the other thing. Last Christmas, we had some eggnog. We had a lot of eggnog.
Yeah, we did.
Shit got a little out of control. We had an unprecedented tie for a winner. I'm putting this as a tie for the loser because I can't believe you guys gave me this shit. Judgment, deal with that.
I am recording the rest of this podcast under protest.
The yin and yang had to be balanced out again. It's now balanced.
I think you were just jealous of me taking a run for the Unprecedented Moments title.
It was, you know what it literally was? I don't want to watch either of these movies. I think I watched The Imitation Game, Whiplash, American Sniper. I don't have time for this bullshit. And for just a second, I was like, I'll let the arguments win out. And then I was like,
that's not even going to happen.
I already decided nobody's winning.
Ouch.
That is
you can't even watch the Cowboys lose.
This is the only
if
time.
If you had put that up as an argument, that probably would have superseded my judgment. But it's too late, Brandon. It's far too late.
All I can say is this film is the only time I've rooted for the Giants in my lifetime.
I assumed it was the Giants and the Jets the way you talk about Ed O'Neill.
You would think that, but no, it's the Cowboys.
No, it's the Cowboys. Which in the middle of Ohio, the Cowboys.
Now, that being said, my Swiss cheese memory led me to believe that Tom Arnold was the opposing coach, not Ed O'Neill. So if I'd known that, I might have actually given it a shot. But it's too late.
It's fine. Just watch the annexation of Puerto Rico on YouTube. That's all you really need.
I'll think about it.
So long as the clip includes Ed O'Neill's reaction to the play, which really is just running down the sideline screaming, "Fumble Rooski, it's a fumble Rooski." Which is a totally in-character line, by the way.
What I really liked was Ed O'Neill had like the perfect Chicago haircut.
Right, natural for a New York quarterback.
From Indiana.
Taking place in Ohio.
So how do you guys grade these movies?
I have to give Little Giants a solid excellent. I rewatched it today, and I was thoroughly entertained. Like, the kids watched it with me, and they... Usually when I'm watching a box office battle movie with the kids, I think Death to Smoochie is the only one that they remotely got interested in. This one had them glued, like glued from beginning to end.
All right, I was fucking with you guys a little bit earlier. I'm actually going Little Giants.
Yeah.
I can't vote against it.
No,
it sounds like it's kind
super
of adorable.
It is delightful is a perfect word for it.
I was just saying that to be a dick because of the Gremlins thing, because you were so adamant about it's a tie. I just wanted a little bit of revenge, Zach.
No,
especially when you turned on Celtic Pride.
I know.
I was like, this is going to be way funnier. But I can't keep it.
I'm so happy that this ended the way it did. It had everything. It had the twist of you going for the fun no winner moment, which totally worked, and then Little Giants prevails, which totally fits the themes of the story, prevailing against all odds.
Or like every sports story ever, pretty much.
We're not talking about every sports story ever. And not every sports story, Celtic Pride.
And you know what I really liked? Because, you know, I had not watched this for a really long time before today, and my Swiss cheese memory is like, is this one of those movies where they are terrible? Like, it's an entire season. It's like, they're terrible. How are they making the playoffs? Like,
it's not right. The playoffs.
No.
Because they had an 80s song with Survivor where they suddenly got better.
Yeah, and it's not that movie.
at all. It's so great.
Like, it was really uplifting, so I have to give it a solid excellent. Celtic Pride, I have never seen, so
don't see it.
Oh, I'm going to give it an unsatisfactory. Like I said, I've not seen Little Giants, but I was not impressed with Celtic Pride when I saw it. And it's the... Here's the problem. You have three people who are, like, really good comedians when they're given the proper material. And this material was A, subpar. B, just they hammed it up. They didn't even do anything.
They're like human cartoons.
Yeah, it's awful. It's really awful. I could see off of the title why you picked it, but I kind of forgot till you're describing it.
I forgot that that's how it ended.
And you'd seen it before. That's the horrible thing.
Yep. Which now I know why I blanked it out of my memory. Now I know.
So what would you give it?
So I would give Little Giants an excellent plus. And I have to imagine that if I revisited it as an adult, I would lower that grade, but I'm not gonna, and I'm not gonna. Excellent plus. As for Celtic Pride, I've been wavering between two scores. The score I feel it should get, and the score that takes into account the one shining positive of this movie. And I think I'm going Larry Bird. What I want to say is this movie is an unsatisfactory minus. It is hot garbage. But Larry Bird is there, so it's an unsatisfactory plus. Because Larry Bird always gets a plus. He just does.
Okay. Now, before we leave, I'm gonna do something a little bit unprecedented.
And here's the other reason for the plus.
Go ahead.
The Mike character, the Daniel Stern character, his kid is named after Tommy Hinesone, which counts for something.
All right. So I'm going to do something a little bit unprecedented. I'm going to push a movie for the viewers at home to listen, and you, Zach, particularly, but anybody. Amazing Grace and Chuck.
Yeah.
You need to see this movie. If you actually want to feel good about the Celtics.
I do want to feel good about
the Celtics. Watch this movie, because not only do you have the dominant 80s era Celtics and roles playing themselves, like you have Alex English pretending to be a Celtic and doing great, and you learn a little something about how nuclear war is wrong, guys.
That might need to be my next box office battle movie. I'm gonna go Celtic back to back. I think I
would seriously consider it, because it's an amazing movie.
I'm putting it on the list right now.
All right, Amazing Grace and Chuck, and it was on Netflix for a long time. I bet it's still on there. So just one of those movies that hangs around because it speaks to all generations, guys.
All right, well, fill those seats so we don't have to.
Hey man, thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include blue birds, best available, we had a good life, Montauk Disguise, Box Office Battle, Within Men, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, on Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow, my whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network, putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.